This is Margaret Copeman Frankowitz with another episode of Diabetic Survival. Okay, well, I really wanted to do podcasts, and I started thinking about, like, what do I want to do podcast on? Well, you know, I've had some, like, really weird setbacks, and then I've had some really weird accomplishments, too, and then I realized that, you know what, sometimes you just need to be refined in the fire. Sometimes there's too much fire, though, but, you know, that's okay. I'm just doing the best that I can. Anyways, if you're tuning in today, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this show. I am pleased as punch to actually be able to offer this to you and give you the insights into the diabetic world. Yeah, I know, not really exciting to most people, but to some people it is. And so, you know, that's the reason why I like to actually talk about it. But I don't know. Okay, so first topic of the day. I don't know if I should give, you know, Dr. Jordan Peterson a free pass or not. I don't even know if I talked about this in the last episode, but I guess I'm still a little bit steamed about what he did to Yumi. And, you know, after reading, you know, Yumi's comments, I realized she just doesn't care. You know, she's, you know, just a girl in the world doing her thing. And I'm proud of her, chicken wing. Jordan Peterson. I don't think that I actually talked about the show that he was actually on. He likes to do a lot of press talk type stuff. And, of course, Jordan Peterson was actually on the Joe Rogan show. Joe Rogan, you can actually catch him on YouTube. And, you know, I sit there and I listen to it. I'm not, like, one of those people that listen to Joe Rogan a lot. But occasionally when I'm really super pissed off at somebody and I don't know how long it's going to last, maybe a lifetime, maybe a year, I'll probably listen a little bit more intently. You know, kind of like how some people like to troll you online or whatever, and they seem to keep popping up until you block them. But anyway, so I'm listening to the show, and, you know, Jordan Peterson claimed he had like 13 lawsuits against him. I think that's just from the college, though. He's like, these people aren't even my clients, and I have lawsuits against me, blah, 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 blah. So, social media is a powerful thing, people, so, you know, certainly not to be taken lightly. If I've actually, this is a shout out to you, though, if I've invited you to be on this show, you know what, be brave, let's just do it. I think that Art Bell went through this a lot, too, where he had people he wanted to interview, stuff of that nature. And they just kind of chickened out at the last minute because they realized that there could be millions, maybe billions, listening to that program. Maybe. But remember, this is a diabetic survival podcast, so probably not going to happen that many people. But anyways, I playfully wanted to actually name this episode Why I Suck at Burning Fat. And as you know, I had a pretty popular podcast, which wasn't even actually mine. It was actually just talking about what another doctor said. It was Dr. Ekberg when he said, you probably suck at burning fat. And I'm like one of those people that really suck at burning fat, but I've done really good on the Ozempic. So, so far, so good. Anyway, except for the fact that yesterday, I'm like, I'm really going to dig my heels in and I'm going to like eat super healthy, which ended up failing me towards the end of the day. But it was also an important lesson to me to make sure to have healthy snacks like almonds, like a handful of almonds. I'm not talking like a ton of almonds here. I'm talking about like a handful of almonds. Try to make it stretch all day if you can. And you know what? Try to make that one meal, not multiple meals as a diabetic. But I had some interesting numbers when I checked them this morning, and I realized that, excuse me, even though I think that my Ozempic is not working, it's probably still working. And then I had to take my blood sugars, which I'll be honest with you. I don't know what diabetic does not dread taking their blood sugar numbers unless you're the infamous, Well, there's some people that do, but, you know, they got, like, that little meter thingy that they have stuck on their arm 24/7, and all they have to do is look down at their phone and go, oh, okay, my blood sugar is, like, 80. All right. This is great. So I'm, like, definitely want to get down into that club. So I got a ways to go, but it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. The reason why I'm actually bringing this up is I decided to do something different yesterday. Now, fasting has always been my go-to. Like, I can stop eating all day. Ozempic makes it easy. I got to remember to remain hydrated, which actually is not a problem for me, but it could be a problem for you. I love my drinks, so I love my coffee, my water, my tea, occasional soda pop when it's not like a gazillion dollars a can. Okay, I've talked on a couple of different subjects. So, all right, I'm going to swing back to Jordan Peterson because I realized that, you know, in the past 5 minutes, I've talked about a gazillion things, but I didn't really talk about Jordan Peterson. So, you can look it up. This Jordan Peterson came out with Joe Rogan, came out a few days ago. So, you can go ahead and look that up on YouTube if you have time. But I actually took notes of it. I'm like, did I even talk about this? I would have talked about it. It involves Yumi, but he really knows how to stir me up, Jordan Peterson. Now, mind you, there are some things that he says, but there's a few things that I really should take with a grain of salt and just turn them off, but I don't. I listen to him anyways. So he has some really great Christian traits about him, sort of. So I do sort of half-heartedly listen to him. But he really went on a rant. He said that the college is disgracing his profession. Or no, actually, the college said that he's disgracing the profession. Which, Jordan Peterson, I'm sorry. You know, Dr. Jordan Peterson, is true. It's like, I'm not quite sure why you don't get it. You're a freaking doctor of psychology. I'm not sure why you are so hell-bent on telling Yumi she's not beautiful. You know, like, move on already. So worry about your degree. Worry about... I think... I'm actually guessing, like, if I had to bet money on it, like, today, I would say that he would not want to cash in his doctor of psychology over Yumi. Like, is he really going to decide not to take these classes that the college has for him just so he can continue to call Yumi not beautiful? I mean, seriously? This is what it boils down to. But they have 13 other different things on him, and he's dealing with 13 different lawsuits. I mean, he's even had to go talk to some of his lawyer friends and stuff. I mean, it's bad. Just take the freaking classes. What the heck? The rest of us, that's what we have to do. Even when we know we're right, we still have to take the classes, and we take them, and then we yawn, and we laugh about it, and we're just like, okay, well, thank you for telling me everything I already knew, and then you move on with your day. I mean, it's not that bad, Dr. Jordan Peterson. I'm going to give you a solid and tell you, just suck it up, buddy, and apologize to Yumi and say, hey, you know, here's a way to look at it, okay? So there's different types of beauty, and every woman is beautiful. Even if she's not, she is. You don't totally know them. Now, mind you, I guess somebody can be completely ugly on the inside and outside, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is there's beauty in everything. And if, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And Jordan Peterson, if you're not married to Yumi, really, is it any of your business? I mean, she was on a Sports Illustrated cover. It just made you look bad. Just, you know, maybe you don't care about how you look or whatnot to the audience, but you're freaking professional. And you have even your daughter defending you. And, like, what? Like, that's on a different show. And I'm just like, they just keep pressing the issue. I mean, talk about bad psychology. And I'm here thinking, you know what? The college, I believe, is doing the right thing. I mean, he's even insulted his president, etc. And even though you can have differing opinions, does not mean you can continue to trash somebody like I'm doing to you right now, Jordan Peterson. Calling you out. You know what? This, if you were ever listening to my podcast, I always say at the end, be kind. It's an honorable trait. be kind. Just be kind. So I'm trying to be kind to you, Jordan Peterson, by telling you, obviously, you don't know everything, and you are completely wrong about this. People are looking at you, and you're making Christians look like a laughingstock. It's embarrassing. So, you know, straighten up. Save your degree. And you know what? And reevaluate that situation. And you know what? Even the best psychologist needs a psychologist sometimes. And I think on this issue, I think you need to consult with a psychologist on this matter who understands the other side of the coin, because you obviously don't. You only see one side. Okay, that's all I gotta say there. But anyways, so back to me, because I am the diabetic girl and this is my diabetic channel. Okay, so I still suck at burning fat. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I weigh. I did tell one person I regretted it, but as a matter of fact, that was yesterday, and then as soon as I said it, I wish I wouldn't have, but it's okay. Excuse me. So I was talking to this young guy, and everybody's young to me because I'm an old person anyways, right? And, you know, he's told me that he actually has heard about Ozempic, and it's something that he actually wants to go into. I'm not exactly sure how we ended up on the subject. It's probably because it's still in the 10 most important things in my life. Things to look into to make you happy, but, and that's another subject I want to talk about, is happiness. But I'll get to that in a minute. Let me make sure I write that down so I don't forget. So I was talking to this young guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of keto. Oh, yeah, I've heard of Ozempic. And, yeah, we had a nice long ride. It was great. So I had to transfer him to a certain area by car. And he's a truck driver, of course. Hey, to you truck drivers, a shout-out. Your job's not easy. I did for 5 years, I know, over the road. Hey, it's shout-out to you guys. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't get the stuff that we have, but please bring in the soda pop so it can be a little bit cheaper, because this is getting ridiculous. But especially the diet soda, I don't see a lot of that on the shelves anymore, which is kind of scary. Okay, yeah, so if you think I'm flipping around a lot, I do that. I'm a female, I'm entitled. That's the way my brain is wired. So my brain is not wired like a dude, it's wired like a female, because I am a female. Okay, anyways, I still suck at burning fat. So my little Ozempic adventure is not a magic pill. It is, but it's not. Is it making me happy? Yes. But it's one of many things that make me happy, just so you know. It's not your magic bullet to happiness. And you start gaining weight, obviously you're not going to be happy again. So you need to find your happy place. That's what I wanted to talk about. So, but the really exciting news is, I'm like wondering what happened to my blood sugar numbers. I mean, I had something drastic. I hate testing my blood sugar in the morning. It usually sucks. And I have had that overactive liver for a while now, where it wants to continuously pump out stuff that my body doesn't need, like, you know, or help my pancreas pump out things sometimes when it feels like it. So, this is when you end up with like morning dawn phenomena. That's where your blood sugar is higher in the morning than any other time. And you may have eaten completely keto last night, and for some reason it's just not working. So I changed it up a little bit yesterday. I actually, decided to, and I you know, okay, this is a kind of a shout out to Wendy's, even though I kind of hate you guys, but you guys are kind of cool too. So I actually broke down and bought your $8 salad, okay? And the reason why I did that is because at lunchtime, I still hadn't eaten yesterday. And I'm like, wow, I'm really not hungry, so I think I'll eat lettuce. True story, I'm putting my hand up. I will put my hand on the Bible, I swear. I don't ever eat lettuce. Now, mind you, it's not that I don't eat green things. I do. I eat green beans. I eat asparagus. I eat broccoli. I don't do lettuce. I call them empty, useless calories. And to spend $8 on lettuce to me is mortifying, okay? But I did. I broke down and did it. I figured out of the 365 days this year, I might as well eat, say I actually had a salad at least once. And actually, that's like my second salad this year. But that's besides the point. I don't generally eat salad. But for some reason, on Ozempic, I crave salad. Not a lot of it, just a little bit. For some reason, it feels like the right thing to do. I don't know exactly how to explain it, because I'll tell you what, I will go out of my way to avoid salad. So I was actually very disappointed when I walked into the Wendy's and the side salads weren't available anymore. So, and they hadn't been available for months, and I didn't even notice, because when's the last time I had a side salad? I can't even remember. Like, what? Okay. So yeah, I spent a ridiculous $8 on the salad, and I'm looking at it, and they're really good about, you know, putting the tomato on there, which is full of lectins, and according to Dr. Gundry, you don't want. So I'm like scooping that off my salad. I'm like, I don't want any stupid tomatoes. Then I realized that, okay, I think there was supposed to be a whole chicken breast on there, but it looked like half a chicken breast. So I wasn't thrilled about that, but it had bacon on top of it. So I was like super happy that it had bacon on top of it. So I didn't really care about the chicken. It had bacon. And it seemed like an overrated salad, honestly. Had some cheese on there, which I don't know, may or may not be real, because it looked like that Mexican blend. And you know, that Mexican blend is kind of like some of the brands out there are very artificial when it comes to Mexican blended cheeses. Like, not real. So I don't know what to say about that. But so anyways, I actually did not do oil and vinegar this time. I actually did ranch dressing, which I haven't had in eons, and I don't necessarily want their ranch dressing because it has a soybean oil in it, but I did that anyways. I was bad. I had ranch dressing with soybean oil. That's so horrible, right? So it's not really horrible, but it's something that I don't want to eat a lot of, like very sparingly, like once a year type deal. Okay? Once a year. That's it. And I know the soybeans aren't necessarily going to screw up my system as much as it would a dude. Like, if you want guy boobs, go ahead and do the soybean. But hopefully this isn't the first place that you heard it. It was on my channel. So I know I've talked about a lot of different things, and it's a little bit all over the place. And this is how the female brain works. This is the reason why I am the way that I am, and I'll talk about this, and I'll talk about that, and then I'll kind of like bump over to this, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes you just have to talk about things. You got to talk it out and say, hey, look, this is what happened, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I'm ripped about the Jordan Peterson thing, but you know, that's completely his deal. I kind of feel sorry for him just because he doesn't see, you know, the way other people see him. It's like, you know, dude, we're pointing the finger at you and saying, please, save your degree. You know, it's important. Kind of like, stop making a big deal about this. You seem a little bit off. Now, yeah, let's definitely talk about Jordan Peterson. Let's talk a little bit about psychology. Let's talk about basic psychology here. When your mental disorder is affecting other people in a negative way, that is when you actually seek therapy. I'm talking to you, Dr. Jordan Peterson, who should know this as a psychologist. I'm not a psychologist, and I know this. So if my behaviors were actually disturbing my work, my sleep, my livelihood, that is the time that I would actually go in and seek a psychologist, because I have things or deep-seated issues that I need to work out. And maybe my way of thinking is not correct, and maybe I need to go find out what is, and what is a little bit more healthier than bashing people. Now, and of course, I don't mean to be talking about this again about Yumi, but I don't think that the girl cares, honestly. She's, like, doing her thing. And I've mentioned that before. But, you know, at the same time, I think that every woman out there who really thinks about it takes it personally. And that is the reason why Jordan Peterson, I'm not one of the 13 people that are setting up lawsuits against you, but I can guarantee you one thing. That I probably would be if I was actually in your practice. If you were my doctor, I would be setting up a lawsuit. I would have gone straight to my lawyer, and I too would have filed a lawsuit because of the way you think. I'd be like, hey,
I have been actually taking advice from this guy for years. I mean, this is what he said about Yumi Peterson. How screwed up is my brain now because of what you're telling me? And then you're going to go and bash this poor girl. Like, why? Does that mean you're bashing any woman who be on the cover of Sports Illustrated? Like, they can't choose their own models? They can't call what is beautiful or just put somebody there just because? They can put whatever they want to on their cover. They can put a glamorized model there who is a waif and doesn't eat very much. Or they can put a hefty-sized girl who's healthy-looking, you know, and she probably eats healthy and she does the best that she can. And she feels magnificent from the inside out. And you put her on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Big deal. Just get over it. Move on. You don't think she's beautiful? Why are you picking up the episode and being so insulted by it? Do you own the magazine? You own shares in it? Do you have any control over Yumi's life? I mean, are you paying her bills? Are you paying Sports Illustrated bills? I mean, there's just some questions that people want to know. Okay. So, all right. So let me jump away from that. I'm pretty heated about that still. I probably will be for a while. Whatever you do, don't talk to me in person about it because I'm going to talk your ear off about it. I mean, you already know that I talk a lot when I'm on my station. Could you imagine what I'm like in person? Some people love it. Other people are like, just shut up already. You know, they don't want to hear it. They got enough stuff going on. Okay, whatever. So back to my blood sugars. I noticed that from yesterday when I was not eating salad and today. And yesterday I was pretty much, I was eating some really weird things. Like I had like an avocado for breakfast. And I totally forgot about the avocado that I ate. Tested my blood sugars and freaked out with the numbers. I'm like, oh, why is my blood sugar so high? Well, I totally freaking spaced that I ate an avocado that morning and it raised my blood sugar levels a little bit, I think. When I tested my blood sugar this morning, it was well below what I thought it would be. And this is the problem with blood sugar. And this is the reason why I don't like testing it. Like, there's nothing accurate about testing my blood sugars. But I did promise my endocrinologist that I would actually start writing down my blood sugar numbers, regardless if I like to do it or not. So I promised that's what I'm doing. And interestingly enough, my blood sugars are dropping and I'm like, kind of pleases punch. I'm not going to credit the salad just because. It disturbs me a little bit that I am super hungry right now and I had gained 3 pounds off of that stupid salad yesterday. So I'm here debating whether to eat or whether to not eat, and that is the question. That's all. But I think we all go through this. My body just did not feel great this morning. Like, it felt kind of shaky. It felt like it needed something. I'm like, okay, something's going on with my body. This is what normally happens when your blood sugars are actually dropping. And, you know, even my endocrinologist pointed it out. And so I'm kind of like, ah, this is supposed to be this way. Because I was always under the impression when my body felt shitty, gonna have to call it for what it is. Okay, don't judge me on that. But I always felt that for me that, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Okay, so what I was thinking is oh, my blood sugars are raising, this is not good. I'll get the shake sometimes and feel a little bit clammy, and it's just your body adjusting. I think everybody's body wants to go back to normal. So if you have high blood sugars, your body doesn't want to be really high. I think that when it starts getting to the really high numbers, like, your body's like in distress, you know? And so, and I think anybody's blood sugar that gets really high, it's a distress signal. It's like, okay, we need to work on getting things back to normal. And, of course, then, you know, your body can regulate itself and then it's easier to burn fat, etc. This might be a myth, but, you know, it's what every doctor says. So that's why I'm repeating this, what every doctor has ever told me. So, this is good. Being type 2 is good. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's about getting your body back into
it's normal behavior. And you know what? We're blessed with the fact that there has been extensive, testing on blood sugars. Because if you think about back in Socrates' time, when doctors were actually, if you've heard my other episode, you know about this. The way that they tested for sugar in the blood was by tasting it. The doctors would taste the urine. I'm so glad that that's not done today, because I would hate to put anybody through that. That's horrible, right? But I mean, they had some problems back in the days, and blood sugar was no exception. It's not that they didn't suffer from it. They certainly suffered from it too, where their pancreas, it just quit and, they're stuck with high numbers or it would start to fail. So they had ways to treat this too, which is much like metformin or the lily plant, right? And so they would actually offer that. I mean, the nice thing about blood sugars, there's many different types of treatment. Like India has their certain types of treatment. Here in America, we have ours. And, metformin is pretty much the worldwide known drug. It's humble, safe, and I've mentioned that before. So me personally, I suck at burning fat. If I can jump, going back to the salad, of course, if I can jump 3 pounds just by eating a salad, that's crazy to me. Like, what happened? But I also know not to judge weight just based on a 24-hour period like I just did. So I might be pleasantly surprised tomorrow. So I'm like, I'm up here, but then I went higher, and then all of a sudden I went lower, because, you have your bowel movement, stuff of that nature. So I'm actually still pleased as punch, because I'm trying to get to that 20-pound mark, and I almost have. It's just that it keeps jumping up. So I'm hoping that my body's trying to regulate that once again so that I can continue losing weight, which is good, and it doesn't plateau. And I do know some people who take Ozempic, they plateau to where they don't lose any more weight. Do they gain it back? Probably. But, and during that period of time, they're losing weight, or at least keeping their blood sugars low, because they're not eating the crap that would actually, raise their blood sugars. So, anyways. So my doctor's goal for me is to get me in a number that is so freaking normal that I will literally be the poster child of what normal is for diabetes. I am going to have Dennis Pollock beat, if she has anything to say about it, because I know what his numbers are, usually like around 85 to 100. And she told me she wanted to get me down to 70, which scares the piss out of me, because I don't think I want to be that low. But she said that she can do it, and I just kind of looked at her and went, okay, well, let's do that. Is that normal? But anyways, there's other endocrinologists I can find out for sure. And that's another thing that I have an issue with too, is back when I first became a pre-diabetic, okay, so I got to jump all the way back to 2010. I was going through St. Vincent de Paul nutrition type 10-month class, something like that. And so we'd all meet once a week in the morning. We'd all check our blood sugars together, which I think is good. I think community outreach and checking blood sugars is excellent, because I just got to tell you, nobody wants to have to stick their finger multiple times a day. I'm just telling you, it's depressing when you look at those numbers and they're always like 150-ish. It's very depressing. You start thinking that there's no hope, but you're just doing it because your doctor said so. So you're just kind of like, okay, roll your eyes, and you just do it. But they're already starting Ozempic parties in Hollywood. Why not finger pricking parties? Like, okay, let's test your blood sugars. Let's see where you're at. Start having competitions on this stuff, people. Like, I can get my blood sugar levels down to 85. What, isn't that cool? Like, well, I'm like stuck at like 138-ish. I was actually 131, but I think that if you have a bunch of diabetics, like for instance, even your family, yeah, have little goals. Like, yeah, your blood sugar was 85. Wow, that's pretty freaking cool. I haven't seen 85 since 1985. Okay. Anyways, it's kind of funny when you think about it. This kind of has to be a family event, especially if it runs in your family. Now, I come from a family of diabetics. I don't think my mother would have been a diabetic, but she died young. So I don't know. I don't think my grandparents on her side were diabetic. But on my father's side, definitely diabetic. And there were definitely people in my family who I believe died young. So, and they died alone and they suffered alone because there's different stages too of diabetes. Some people just have the pre-diabetes, some people have the diabetes. But I think it's a bragging right to actually have low blood sugar. So even if you didn't, let's say you were normal, right? You're like 100 or something. You're normal. If you want to join in this diabetes party, hey, go for it. Everybody's going to know you're normal, right? But at the same time, it's going to remind other people where they want to be at their blood sugar number. So you could actually do a great deal of help if you're not diabetic just by testing your blood sugars. And, you know, just kind of have, you don't have to do it all the time like a diabetic does or anything, but it's kind of cool to see that somebody out there who's not diabetic actually cares. It's really cool to see. It's like a breath of fresh air, honestly. It's kind of like the life-saving raft that gives other people hope just by being you and normal. And then going that little extra way and pricking your finger and saying, hey, look, here's my blood sugar. Now, the reason why I say that is because Dennis Pollock, who's not a doctor, by the way, but he actually works in a doctor's office, talks to doctors all day, and has been very good over the years, 20 years, by the way, of managing his blood sugars. His lovely wife, Benedicta, tests her blood sugar, and I until today, I didn't realize how humble that was and how beautiful that was. And of course, she's normal. She doesn't have to worry about blood sugar or anything, but excuse me. But it's so cool to see that she cares so much for her husband that she'll even show like little recipes that she'll do, diabetic recipes, stuff of that nature in support of her husband. It's the most beautiful relationship ever. So, because that's not something that she has to do, but it shows that she's committed to caring about what he actually cares about. It's a good marriage, I think, between the two of them. So anyways, that's about all I wanted to talk about today. I know I talked about a lot of different things. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I keep trying to mention this, but I seem to forget because at the end, you know, I always say be kind to each other. And, excuse me. I wanted to emphasize what kindness is. And, well, it's not necessarily bashing Jordan Peterson. I'm trying to call him out, so I don't think I'm going to get through to him. I don't think most people are going to get through to him. Obviously, his own family is not getting through to him. I think you... Yumi shouldn't have to do anything. Like, really, not on that. It's not her problem. Somebody else calls her something, right? That's their problem. But the point that I'm trying to make is in being kind to one another, not knocking some model or superstar just because you can. They got feelings too. I get it. They have to have very thick skins. But at the same time, they really shouldn't have to tolerate the stupid things that you say, stupid comments. It's kind of like bullying, but for celebrities. People always think, well, this person makes millions, so what I say won't affect that person. That is obviously not true. Because what you say and do matter. And so When you try to do things positively for change, or if you're going up against a bully, which that's what I was doing with Jordan Peterson, going up against a bully, and I'm just a little small fry, so I don't matter. But the reason why I'm actually calling him out is because he's being a bully. He really is. And as a psychologist, being a bully is not cool. Okay? Not cool. And being kind is not telling somebody on the cover of Sports Illustrated that they're not a beautiful person. That's, you don't know them. You have no business with them. Like, what the heck? I mean, you're just offended because she graced something that you would have bought that magazine or something. Maybe you didn't even buy that magazine. I mean, like, maybe he has, like, zero investment in this or whatnot, and he just decided to be rude that month. So, no, Jordan Peterson, you are not king of the world. You do not make the decisions on what is beautiful or not beautiful, and you need to be a kind person. So not only do you need to be an actual psychologist that helps people out, but you need to stop bashing people, and you need to stop pretending to be a psychologist when you're not. And I think that's flat out what it is. And who am I to call out anybody? Well, if you're going around insulting people like Yumi, that's what I'm going to call you out, right? It's called defending those who either don't want to defend themselves or because it's actually bashing other women, which I find offensive. Other women who could be on the cover of Sports Illustrated when Sports Illustrated got bored with the regular meat and potatoes that they normally serve. Maybe they actually want to do salad once in a while. Okay, you see where this is going? Hope so. So, being kind to one another. Okay, let's say you have a pet. And let's say you bully that pet all the time. That pet's not going to want to be around you. They're going to look at you and either sulk or want to rip your eyes out or something, you know, if you got a cat. You got to be gentle with that lovely creature that you have, that you've been blessed with. Because, as we all know, life is very short. Being kind is... Okay, so I have this neighbor who comes over. She's always asking me for stuff. Do you have any clothes? Do you have any jackets? Do you have any blankets? Do you have any this or that or this or that? I've literally given her everything that I've had in my apartment. You know, dishes, clothes, and stuff of this nature. Just everything. And she'll just go out and either sell it or give it away or something. And that's okay. It's all right. I don't make a big deal about it because I have a plethora of stuff already anyways. And for whatever reason, even though I'm always intent upon clearing out my clutter, I just have so much of it. But I don't want to be like a hoarder, so I get rid of stuff all the time too. So, of my choosing. So, but I'm always kind to her. And I'm always over there talking to her, even though she's in left field on occasion. But being kind to each other, like, I saw something online where they were actually asking for addiction counselors. And I went into the comments, and they were just horrific about what they were saying about addicts. Like, this is not positive reinforcement. This comment that this person left is not helping anybody. It's making people feel bad about themselves for being addicts. And you may have somebody who, you know, let's take a hypothetical situation here, okay? So, because, I mean, some people just don't think about things before they say them, right? But let's take a hypothetical situation. Let's say there's an 8-year-old girl, 9 years old, and let's say that she was with her father. Her father allowed her to do drugs because he did drugs himself. So the mother takes the child away from the father, and the girl thinks that this is just normal behavior, right? And so now she lives with the mother. The mother knows better, though, and the mother doesn't do drugs. So she's constantly bashing her daughter. You need to stop doing drugs, blah, 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 blah. And this girl's, like, not taking it well, right? And she's a little bit strange in the community because this is what she wants to do all the time. And because this is her habit, this is the way she was trained by her father, and she admired her father, and her father did it, and he was perfectly fine, so why can't she? And later on in life, she realizes that maybe she has a problem. Maybe her mother was right. Let's say she's 18, she still has this problem. She's like, oh, and yeah, dad ended up in like prison and didn't have a life. And so she starts thinking about things, right? Like, oh. And so her dad now becomes an example of who she does not want to be like. And so she's here looking into recovery of some sort because she wants to definitely turn over her life and she wants to be more like her mom now. And no, this is not defining anybody. This is a hypothetical situation I made up, okay? So this is not real by any factor or means. It's an imaginary story. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you have to put yourself in somebody's shoes or try to think as to why somebody would need something like this, okay? So there are obviously people that need recovery. There are some people that are scared to death. Like, it is like literally like jumping off a cliff because it's so foreign and different to them. And then you have somebody bashing addicts, right? The reason why I'll finally step up and I'll say something is because we don't know what that person has gone through. Obviously, they're struggling with something. They're actually thinking about changing their life. And I literally have no right to step on anybody else's toes if they're actually trying to seek recovery and try to be as normal as possible because they know that their lifestyle is whack and is not doing them any good and it's costing them friends, money, family, etc., jobs. And of course, this does happen, right? This is true. I mean, look around. Everybody pretty much knows an addict. I mean, if you live in the United States, you know somebody or you've at least heard of somebody who's an addict. So why are you going to bash that person? Why aren't you going to give them the same chance that you had? I mean, they may not have all the graces that you had. And so this is the type of person we need to lift up and help as much as possible as a community and stop bashing them. And that went with Yumi too. So it's not that I'm woke or anything like that. I don't even really know what that is. I'm just trying to be a decent human being. That's it. I am not going to be the devil that sticks the knife in their back. I'm just not going to do that. Like, there's certain jobs I can't do because that's just not me, whatever. But, so when I go back to it, let me think about what I actually did on that site because there's somebody that was bashing. Oh, I didn't do anything. I just totally ignored the basher, right? And I actually put a comment up at the top. I got a bunch of likes too, by the way. But I just put a little message in there. And this is on addicts actually becoming counselors. I think it's a great idea because not only are you going to help other people get straight, you're helping yourself to remain straight. So, hey, I say go for it, right? You know, there's comments on there like, I don't think an addict should actually be a counselor, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, if anybody knows an addict better than an addict is another addict, right? Like, I could go in there counseling and because, you know, I did the whole experimentation for like a year or something for on marijuana. That was about it. But I would not be as good as a counselor as somebody who's been in the field, who's been doing drugs for many, many multiple years. Right? I don't even have the same type of experience. They know what to look for. They know when somebody's slipping up for the most part. I wouldn't know that. I'd just be like, hey, are you not doing drugs now? I mean, you know, kind of lame and like, oh my gosh, why would you do something harder than marijuana? Like, don't you know it's a gateway drug? So it's tobacco, by the way. But, or alcohol. But, you know, or maybe I would make a good counselor because I do care, but I'm telling you, I'd be one of those naive counselors. So anyways, to make a long story short, because I only got a limited time here, is the comment that I made was, I did not, and you may do this too, is just congratulate somebody, is I put this message in, because of the way this article was, they were actually looking for former addicts to become counselors, right? And of course, there was a bunch of people bashing this. So I wrote a letter, I put in there, I want to thank all former addicts who actually want to change your life and do better, they're stepping up the plate, and who better to actually serve as a counselor than a former addict? And the reason why I did that was because I wanted to be encouraging. I wanted to be positive. It's a true fact, I think, anyways. I don't know, maybe Jordan Peterson would have a issue with this, but probably not, because, you know, he wasn't part of this. I'm still steamed about that. I'll be steamed for a while for Yumi, and she doesn't even care. It's kind of funny when you think about it. But who's better to treat other addicts than addicts? And it's going to help them get straight to you. That is kindness. That's going in there. That's not being the bully. It's going in there and making a positive difference. And how many times have you opened up your Facebook and you have gone into a group that you're passionate about, or it's your work or something of that nature, and all they're doing is chewing each other out, chewing out what another person did or something of that nature. There's like no positivity there. Most people are scared to death to even type anything in the comments. This happens a lot, right? Well, try to be a beneficial change. And if you want a professional example of somebody who's absolutely positive, and if we knew his mind, probably blow it, is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, I give him a lot of credit, because he takes a lot of negative comments from people sometimes. On his Twitter, I don't know how he can stand to be on there sometimes, because they're like, well, you did this and you did that and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's really got to have a thick skin. Biden's another one that has to really have a thick skin as well, because, man, like, I think he just does things just to read the comments, because he knows he's pissing off people. But we're not going to talk about Biden today. But Elon Musk, there's some people that actually make comments on there, and you're not just bashing that person, but anybody who supports that person and feels the same way, like, for instance, that Elon Musk feels about, you know, we have to have renewable energy and we need to set better goals for ourselves. And, like, I'm not going to speak for Elon Musk. He can speak for himself, but he's, like, in the news every day. And it's hard not to admire the man. However, I have been in one of his board meetings. They are quite boring. And sometimes a little bit of interesting stuff comes up. And he's all about change. He's all about moving forward, which is really positive. But I think that kindness matters. And that's the one thing I can say about Elon Musk, is he is kind. He's also brutal. He's brutal when he knows that, for instance, is affecting other people. And he doesn't talk about it. He'll just cut you off. And I think that's really cool. Like that's like hurtful too. But, you know, it's really cool. Like, just go ask the ex-Twitter employees how they feel about that. So, he doesn't try to convince anybody to be a nicer person. He's just like, okay, you're evil. You're out. So, you're goodbye. So, I mean, if you come up with constructive criticism, I think he would listen. Like, hey, can we work on these batteries? Because they're, like, really expensive in these Tesla cars. Like, they're $15,000 replaced, and they're only good for 4 years. So I think he does listen to constructive criticism. And, you know, he gets on top of that. Like, he gets on top of that. Wow. This is what I'm amazed by, is when you're giving somebody constructive criticism, and they're, like, all on top of it, and they want to get it fixed, and they realize that it's a problem. It's like, wow. So you see how his brain works? It's awesome. So freaking awesome the way his brain works. And doubt he's listening to this podcast. But if he was, I would say that is why I think you're awesome, Elon Musk, is because you have a way, just boom, it's done. You know, I got a problem? Okay, get it done. You just slayed your dragon. That is remarkable. So you want to look at somebody top dog? Look at Elon Musk. Now, mind you, he also spends billions, and he even admits he's got a kind of a spending habit problem, which I'm laughing about. But I would assume that if you have billions of dollars, it's kind of hard to spend. All right, so be kind to somebody, please, please, be kind to somebody. If you know somebody who's struggling, they need food, give them food. If you have it, of course. If you don't have it, don't rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, if you need to pay your rent, right? And somebody asks you for money and you just kind of look at them like, I would help you. Unfortunately, I would have to go steal in order to help you with that. So I'm going to have to say no. It's okay to say no on occasion. It's a little bit disheartening. You kind of feel like a thug or whatnot. You're like, but at the same time, you got to watch out for your bottom line. And then when you have excess, give. And you know, it's really hard right now, especially when nobody has anything except for unless you're stealing or something, which I hope you're not. But sometimes the only kindness you gotta give according to what you have. So if the only kindness is what comes out of your mouth, or the words that you write on paper, or the words that, you know, you type into the comments online or whatever, if that's the only kindness that you can afford to give, give it freely. It's not like writing a positive comment is going to cost you anything except for your time. So, and it might actually make you feel better about yourself. And you might think about it the next day, like I did, the comment that I made. And you might read back at the other positive comments where people at least liked it, or they loved it, or they wrote a comment that said, thank you very much. And when somebody writes out a comment of thank you very much, I needed that, that is like the best gift ever. And it makes you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. And that just elevates you. Silly little small things like that. And that's what, for instance, when Mother Teresa was on this earth, that's the things where she says it's the small things that matter. Small things. So little bitty comments, or, you know, just giving somebody a helping hand, or, you know, doing something that's positive and constructive. All right. So anyways, this has been Mark Copeland Frankwitz. I hope that you've enjoyed listening, because I really enjoy you, my audience, for listening to this entire thing. And you guys do. So thank you for that. You guys are the reason why I do what I do. You are the breath in my lungs. You are the strength in my muscles. You are the spring in my step. So thank you for that. So thank you for the positive encouragement. Again, be kind to each other. It's going to be like my theme word. And hopefully I'm kind to other people. Oh, and that's another reason why I mentioned Jordan Peterson. It's because I want to be kind to him. He's just making it really hard. I want to be kind to him. But man, he's really got to either save his professional license or at least apologize to Yumi. I bet all of this would blow over if he just said, okay, I realize it's my opinion, but Yumi, you're free to do whatever you want to. And blah, nobody cares to hear it. And Yumi doesn't even need to hear it, by the way, you know, but he needs to do something different. Like, seriously, like he's actually self-imploding on himself. Like, that's bad. And everybody's called him out and tried to help him out, and he doesn't even realize it. So, and we all go through that. So regardless if we feel like we need to go through it or not, it's like, take the stupid courses or whatever. And you're like, la, 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 okay, thanks for telling me something I already knew. And now I'm going to go back on and do my own thing. You know, that's all there is to it. All right. So love you guys in a very friendly way, of course. Definitely a different definition on that. Thank you for tuning in once again and for listening to me talk on and on and on. And I hope that you have a great day.